Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at the first six verses here. What is faith? That's our question. What is faith? Verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now he begins here saying faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance. That means faith is the confidence of the believer. It's the assurance of the believer. It's the solid, firm foundation for a believer. When you believe God, you believe him. It's really just that simple. It's substantive to you. You have the substance. You know this is real. You're beholding things that are real and everlasting. You behold things that are forever. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We read here of verse 13, and this word substance is sort of given in different words here. He says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded." That's what it means. Faith is the substance. It's the persuasion. You're persuaded. "And they embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Hebrews 10:22, he says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith." That's what it is to have the substance. Faith gives you some assurance. You have assurance. You know these things are so. And he tells us we're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence. There's the substance. It's our confidence. Our confidence is in the one faith lays hold of. Our confidence, and we hold it fast, steadfast until the end, because we have this substance. We have a good hope through grace. That's what we have, a good hope through grace. When Scripture talks about hope, it's not like, you know, just hope and hope, hope. It's a good hope. It's a hope founded in Christ, founded in God's purpose. It's hope for eternal life, hope for eternal salvation. Hope that we possess the things God's promised us, and we already possess them. Our Lord said, "I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." When you have faith, it's because he's already given you life and you already possess what you're hoping for. We're hoping for everlasting life. We already possess it. The Spirit of God's an earnest. It gives you a foretaste and an assurance of what's coming. And it's the substance. We're hoping that we'll be kept by God and brought safely into God's eternal presence, where we'll be righteous, where we'll be perfectly conformed to Christ, and we won't have this body of sin and death anymore. Paul said in Galatians 5:5, "We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness." That's our hope. And we wait through faith. We wait for the hope of righteousness through faith. Our Lord is our righteousness, and he's coming again. And he's going to take us with him, and we'll be perfectly conformed to his image. Faith believes this. You believe this. This is so. We have the substance of these things. We have faith that God's given. And then notice this too. He says faith is the evidence of things not seen. Evidence means proof. It's the proof. People say, "Give me proof." Faith is the proof. When God gives faith, you have the proof. It's just you can't really convey to somebody that doesn't have faith what faith is. When you have faith, you have all the evidence you need. You got all the proof you need. You believe God. You have evidence of the things that are not seen with these eyes. If you go through here and you read the things that are written, when it says verse 7, by faith Noah, he was warned of God of things not seen as yet. It had not rained yet. The Lord was watering the earth from a mist that went up, the scripture says. You ever made one of those, what do they call those things where you put them in a, like a hot house and, it, you know, the mist and all waters the little plants? That's how the earth was watered at the time. And he'd been told that the earth's going to be destroyed by flood. And he hadn't seen that, but he believed God. He believed God. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, he was called to go out to a place that he should after receive for inheritance. And he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. Not knowing where he went. Think about this. You don't have to know where you're going. You don't have to know what's on the other side of the hill or around the curve when you know God has promised and God's leading you. That's all you need. You got something better than what your eyes can see. You got God, and you believe him. You have the evidence of things not seen. You just go all through here. He looked for a city who had foundations, whose builder and maker's God. You just see these things that they didn't see with the carnal eye, but faith sees. Faith is the sight of the believer. It's evidence of things that God did in eternity. We believe this. This is what the scripture declares, that there is a Lamb's book of life, speaking in figurative language we can understand. It's the mind and purpose of God. But he wrote our names in the Lamb's book of life before the world was made. And I remember growing up at a vacation Bible school one time at an Armenian church. I can remember them singing, "There's a new name written in heaven." Because somebody had come to the front and confessed Christ. There's no new names written there. They all been written there from the beginning. God wrote them there from the beginning. And faith believes that our names were written in eternity in divine election in Christ in the counsel and covenant of his grace. Faith has the evidence. Faith is the proof. We believe God. It's the evidence of what Christ accomplished for us on the cross. God tells us that when Christ laid down his life on the cross, he freely justified his people, made us the righteousness of God in him. That's what justification is, to be made the righteousness of God in him, to have no sin, past, present, or future, before the all-knowing, all-seeing God of heaven and earth. Now, if we look with our carnal eyes, we see sin in ourselves. But what does faith believe? I believe what God says. What does God say? Look back at Hebrews 9:26. Hebrews 9:26. There in the middle it says, "Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered one time to bear the sins of many." That's right there is telling you. We only have one judgment. There's only one judgment. But for God's people, Christ bore that judgment. One time, he did it. And to them that look for him, that's what faith's doing, looking for him. We're watching for him. "And those that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." You remember on the Day of Atonement, there was two lambs. One of them, they put the sins on the head of this lamb and they slew that lamb. He died. And his blood was taken up and carried into the holiest of holies and sprinkled on the mercy seat. The other lamb, was a scapegoat. And he carried the sins away. He was led off into a land not inhabited and carried the sins away in picture and type. That's what he did. That's what Christ did for us when he laid down his life. He took away the sins of his people. We don't see that with our carnal eyes. Faith believes it. We believe it. That's what God tells us, and we believe it. Our full assurance of faith is that Christ is our high priest. He's our lamb. He's our high priest, our lamb. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and bore the sins of his people, and he put them away. And by that, he obtained eternal redemption for us. And now he entered into that holy place, the real holiest of holies, and entered in because he had obtained eternal redemption for his people. Eternally purchased, eternally he paid the price of his own blood that the law demanded us. The law would not let us go. The law held us, and there was a ransom to be paid. And that ransom was death, eternal death, death that satisfied the justice of God. And that's what Christ bore for his people. And faith believes him. We believe he died my death. He settled my judgment. That's what faith believes. He perfected forever them that are sanctified. And we believe that right now, our Lord Jesus is seated in heaven. We can't see that, not with carnal eyes. Faith is the substance. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. We really believe we have the God-man mediator, a man. This is why God does it this way. Reason can't enter into this. And if faith is not reason, reason can't, you know, you hear men mock and make fun that, oh, you believe there's a man in heaven. I do. I sure do. I believe that man is God. He's the God man. Well, I don't see how that could happen. There's a lot of things that we can't see and understand could happen that God can do. Everything, really, everything. We got a very limited sphere of understanding. God is incomprehensible in what he's able to accomplish. And we believe there is a man seated there who's making intercession for us. His very presence there with those wounds in his hand and his side and his feet declare to God he has accomplished the work God sent him to do, and he did it for his particular people. And when you're cast down and when you're troubled by your sin and when you're desiring to please God and to serve God and to honor God, you know what gives you the strength to do that? Is when God lifts your head to the right hand, to where you see Christ by faith, the substance, the evidence, and you see Christ seated there making intercession for you and what he's accomplished for you, and that's the strength to know. I'm righteous. I'm alive. I'm there with God at God's right hand. That's where he strengthens you. That's how he strengthens you. The natural eye doesn't see Christ there. Carnal eyes don't see Christ working all things in providence for his people. This is the substance we have and the evidence we have that everything that's coming to pass in this world, things will come to pass and they're perplexing, and you see these things and you think, how could God possibly bring good out of this? And yet he tells us that everything he's working it together for our good, and that's exactly what he's doing, and faith believes that. Faith just has to stop and wait and trust God that he knows what's best and he's doing what's right. And he's doing it just for me, just for you, just for us who believe him. That's what faith, and that's substance, brother. That's a firmer foundation than, you know, you ever seen something coming to pass and you thought it was going good and everything was turning out good and then it just turned upside down? You really couldn't trust what you saw, could you? But you know, he's ruling everything, and when he's ruling it, you know it's going to turn out for his glory and my good. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the proof. It's the real and lasting thing that faith sees. You know why this is so true of faith? Why it's the substance and the evidence? Because faith is looking away from our feeble, sinful, mortal, failing, dying flesh. That's why. And it's looking to God who spoke everything and brought everything into existence and came here and redeemed us and is now working everything to bring his people to himself. Faith is trusting him. It's going outside of ourselves to him. That's why it's the substance. That's why it's the proof, because we believe God is the all-powerful Savior of his people. Look at 2 Corinthians. I hope that this is what the Lord's enabling us to do. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. We suffer affliction, but it's light affliction in comparison to what Christ has suffered. Our light affliction is but for a moment, But it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What's it doing? What is the affliction for? What's it doing? It's turning us from these things. It's turning us from earthy things. It's turning us from ourselves and from perishing things that are just going to go back to the dust. You know, if you see these Mayan ruins and you see these ancient civilizations and the structures they built, and they've just been left alone, and they're just crumbling. And in time, they'll just go back to the dust. If we took man's hand off of everything we've ever created in this world and just left it alone in time, you know what it'd do? It'd go right back to the dust, every bit of it, every bit of it. But this light affliction is God weaning us. It's God taking the things of this earth that we want to hold on to and not let go of, and it's Him making us let go of them. And He turns us, look, verse 18, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You tell that to a carnal man, you tell that to a man that doesn't have faith, and he'll tell you you're crazy. You folks believe things that can't be proven. You believe things that can't be seen. Oh, they're proven to God's people. This is only something God can work in the heart. Nothing else can give you faith but Him. Well, look at this next thing. Faith is how we obtain a good report. Hebrews 11:2, he said, For by faith, the elders, all the Old Testament saints, obtained a good report. Remember when Isaiah was preaching and he came to Isaiah 53 and he said, who hath believed our report? To whom's the arm of the Lord revealed? God has made us, by giving us faith, God has made us obtain ourselves the report that He's given to us. That report of His Son. He's made us obtain that report. Abel and Job and Enoch and Noah, they obtained a good report from God, giving them the gospel and making them believe the gospel in their heart. And then through faith in their Son, they obtained a good report from God in bearing witness that they're His children. Testifying that they're His, that they're righteous because of His Son. They obtained the good news of the gospel through faith. It was given to us, freely given to us through faith. And then they obtained a good report from God that they were justified and accepted of God in Christ. And that's all through faith in His Son. Believe in God. They believed God and they were waiting, patiently waiting. That's what our life is. Our whole life is patiently waiting for the promise of God. The Hebrews 11 tells us they didn't obtain those promises. They didn't see Christ come, and they were looking for Him to come the first time. But they saw Him by faith. They believed, and they saw Him in the shadows and the types. And they looked to that city whose builder and maker is God. And they obtained a good report from God. He gave them the evidence in their heart, and He testified in their heart that they're His. Now look here, verse 3. This is what it means, that it's the substance and the evidence. Through faith, we understand. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now this is going right to what we just said. This thing is believing things that the carnal eye does not see. Here's the first example, creation. Without faith, sinners look to science because everything has to be proven by scientific facts, and that's the only way men will say they'll believe. But here's the thing about this. Men have been studying creation and still don't understand how the worlds were framed. You know what the Big Bang Theory is? That's what it is. It's a theory. It's a theory. That's not proof. That's not evidence. It's a theory. God's given a believer an understanding through faith. Through faith. When you believe God, you understand that before anything existed, God is. He's the great I Am. Nothing was before Him. And you believe this. You can't convince a man that doesn't have faith in this. And God doesn't make any attempts to prove this. He doesn't make any attempts to prove it in the way man wants proof. God just begins the book by saying, in the beginning, God. God created the heavens and the earth. And faith says, amen. I believe God. Believe him. He spoke and he framed the world by the word of God. God, by his word, made the visible creation from nothing. See, everything is incomprehensible to a mortal man because we can't create something from nothing. That's why it's incomprehensible to us. We can't do what God can do. And so we think God can't do it because we can't do it. Is that not pride and self-exaltation to think, well, if we can't do it, God can't do it? He's bigger than us, wiser than us, more powerful. He's everything we're not. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're talking about the Word. We're talking about the incarnate Word that came forth, Christ Jesus, who is God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Look at Colossians 1, Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15 tells us he's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. And he tells us exactly what that means. What does it mean he's the firstborn of every creature? By him were all things created. This one who's the salvation of his people is God who created all things. All things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they're thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and before him, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist. And here's the important thing. This is what faith believes. He is the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Why did he create everything? What was his purpose in creating everything? It was so that he would create a people that would fall and they would become ruined in sin. And yet God would come forth in the person of the man Christ Jesus. And God would satisfy his own justice and show us who he is by what he accomplished at Calvary. That he's holy and righteous and long-suffering and merciful and forgiving and a just God and a loving God. And God who is love. God who saves abundantly. He did this to show us who he is. Did he have to do that? We don't have any word that said he had to do it. He did it freely. He did it by his grace for his people. And he's our head. He's the head and his people are the body. Members of his body in particular. Members one of another in the same body with Christ as our head. This is what faith believes. How do we believe this? Only one way. I won't get into this much because I'm going to try to preach some on it second hour, but there's only one way you believe this. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:12, we have received not the spirit of the world. This is why the world can't believe this. We had that spirit at one time and couldn't believe. But we've received the spirit which is of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The natural man doesn't receive these things. They're foolishness to him. He can't know them. He won't know them and he can't know them. We couldn't either. We couldn't either. We can't get too upset with folks that don't believe because we couldn't believe either. Faith is a miracle. Believing God's a miracle. Now, only God can work it. Now look, back at Hebrews 11, it's only by faith that we come to God in the one offering God will receive. That's his son. It's only by faith. This is what's the important thing, and this is why he made everything right here. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. This is what he's telling us when he says through faith that the elders received a good report. For through faith in Christ, Abel obtained witness. God bore witness in his heart that he was righteous. God testified to him of his testified of his gifts that he had given to Abel and that Abel possessed because of God. And he's yet speaking. We're yet hearing about what God did with Abel. There's only two beliefs in the world. Just two. You can take every religion in the world and you can, this is it right here. Cain and Abel. There's just two. Salvation by grace, by Christ our righteousness, through faith in Christ. That salvation which is all of God, A to Z, beginning to end. And God gets all the glory. The only religion that preaches that is a religion that preaches that this book, in truth, that salvation is all of God's grace by the works of God worked out for his people and applied to his people and God keeping his people. Abel was a sinner saved by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone. He came with the blood of a sacrifice. That's what he was confessing, by the blood of that sacrifice. Here's an innocent lamb that died in his place. And coming with that blood, he's confessing, this is the only way I could come to God in a substitute who died for me. That's the only way God will receive me, because that's what I deserve. My blood deserved to be spilled because I am the sinner. But faith believes I died. When that lamb died, the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus, when he died, I died. And God received me through faith in his blood. That's the true religion, the religion that's of God. And then the second one, all other religious beliefs, whatever it goes under, whether it goes under Christianity or Buddhism or Hinduism or whatever it is salvation by works. They all put it in a man's hand and exalt a man and say he has to save himself. See, Cain came with the works of his hand. Cain came with fruit he had grown out of the cursed earth. A picture of you and me producing our fruit out of this cursed dust called our cursed flesh. And God won't have it. There's no blood. There was no confession that all I am entirely in my entire being is sin. You ever read Leviticus 13 and see the law of the leper? That law of the leper, if he had just a spot and it was just on the surface, he didn't have it. He didn't have leprosy. Or if he had just a raw spot and he was unclean, but it's a picture of somebody who's not entirely a sinner. It's just surface-wise. They've done a few bad things. But who did he pronounce clean? He had to come to the priest. The only one he had, only one. God didn't send him to a medical doctor. He sent him to a priest. Christ Jesus. We have to go to the high priest. And we come there confessing all we are is sin. The one he pronounced clean was the one who came there who was covered in leprosy from head to toe. He pronounced him clean. You see the picture in that? Who's God washed? Who does Christ receive? Who does he save? The one who's so thoroughly a sinner from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. That's who he cleanses. That's who he pronounces and declares he's clean by the blood of Christ. He saves sinners. Cain didn't come that way. Cain didn't come confessing he was a sinner because he didn't come through the Lamb. He didn't come in the blood of a substitute. But Abel believed God. He believed faith was a substance. It was the evidence. He knew. He believed God accepted him only through the blood of the Lamb. So he came with that blood. And he obtained a good report from God. He obtained witness from God. That is, God spoke and declared him righteous. God testifying of his gifts. The Holy Spirit gives you life, gives you faith in Christ, and you come dyed in the wool center. Head to toe, nothing good in you, nothing can good come from your sinful flesh. And you come to God begging God for mercy. And the Lord Jesus receives you and he bears witness through the Spirit, through faith in your heart that you are a child of God made righteous by the blood of Christ, and he'll never, ever, ever let you perish. Bought with his precious blood. That's what he bears witness in your heart. The gifts that he bears witness of are the gifts he's given to you. Righteousness, peace, joy, All the things you have with God through Christ, through faith. Cain didn't believe God. He came with the work of his hands, the work of the cursed earth, the fruit of the dust, pitched a man coming to God in his own works. That's the only two religions there are in the world. The only two. The moment anything enters in, that we have to contribute ourselves, of ourselves, it ceases to be grace, becomes works. The moment that happens, it's only through faith in Christ that God's pleased with a sinner. And he's pleased with everyone who believes on his son. Look here, this is what happened to Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Now here's another example. For before his translation, he had this testimony. God gave this testimony that he pleased God. But how do you please God? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. People will hear all the things that Christ said of those in the last day. You know, they said, didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we do many wonderful works? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do all these things? And men will look to those things and think that's the fruit he's talking about by which you have the testimony of God that you saved. There's a lot of people that does those things. What is it that pleases God? What is Christ declaring that these didn't have? They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. Men always want to add something to faith in addition to faith. It takes God to make us come to God trusting him only. Just believe in God that we're righteous through faith. He translated Enoch so that he didn't die. This was through faith. He believed him, and God translated him from this mortal life to immortality. He was carried up to heaven by God forever. God's pleased with a sinner only through faith in his Son. Only through faith in his Son. He's pleased with you who believe on his Son because Christ has made you as righteous as God is. That's how righteous you are. I don't see that. Because you're looking with carnal eyes. If you look by faith, you'll see Christ, and he's your only righteousness. That's how righteous you are. As righteous as God is, seated at God's right hand. And those that believe his Son have eternal life right now because God's already translated us out of this kingdom into his dear Son. He already has. That's what Paul said. Your life is, you're dead, and your life is right there, hid with God in Christ Jesus. And so when the end comes, what's he going to do? He's just going to raise us immortal to be with God forever, to be with our Lord. But there's no pleasing God without faith in his Son. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Unbelief calls God a liar. I'm not talking about just the rank unbeliever who out and out speaks and says, I think God's a liar. I'm talking about folks who are trying to add their own works of righteousness to what Christ has done. They're saying, we don't think that's enough. We don't think Christ is enough. We think you're lying to us, God. That's what they're saying. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Faith believes God. Faith comes to God, believing God's everything he says in his word. Believing God is. What is he? He is everything we need to be saved. He is everything he declares in this word. He is God, life, salvation, righteousness, peace. He is. Believing God is just falling back into his arm to save you. And trust in him. Believe in him. It's believing that if God be for us, who can be against us? It's believing that God's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him only. And the reward is Christ our righteousness. The reward is God himself. The reward is eternal life by him who is our eternal life. That's the reward. Faith believes he spared not his Son, but delivered him up for all his people so that being one he died for, one he made righteous, one that's accepted in him. That's what faith believes. He's justified me, and he's interceding for me right now. What faith believes is, faith believes that there's absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Every sanctifying work is of God. And it is all of God. It's all of God. Do you believe that? You ask Hezekiah. God will never leave his people. He'll never forsake his people. But he left Hezekiah alone to prove what was in his heart. To prove to Hezekiah what was in his heart. You know what Hezekiah did? He had just been delivered from the Assyrians by God. He had just been delivered from death. His health was restored to him by God. And God gave him a bunch of wealth and prosperity, and things were going really good, and he gave him a lot of honor. And God right there left him alone just a little while to let him see what he was if left to himself. You know what he did? He gloried in himself. Brought the Babylonians in and showed them all his riches and all that he had, and never once gave God the glory. And God still saved him. And God showed him by that, he's the one that separates you and keeps you, and any good work you do, he's produced it in you. When Peter was on that water, and he's coming to the Lord, and Peter began to sink down, he didn't say, "Oh, this is a co-effort between me and God. We can work this out. We can get above this water." What did he say? "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." Best thing that happened to us is God, if we think that, if we think this thing is between me and God, we got a good thing going. God just let you alone for a little while and show you. Faith believes it's all of God. It's all of God. Now the Lord said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That's the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do you believe that is the truth? Do you believe that is God's word and that's it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Do you believe that? Everything that God's going to do with his people, if he uses you, he's going to work it in you. If he calls you to offer up your only son, that he's made every promise and promised the salvation of his people through Christ coming through that son. That's what he did to Abraham. And he said, "Now you go slay this boy, Abraham." How on earth? That's what's held up for us as a good work. That's what it is. Something absolutely, thoroughly impossible for you and me. Something that's so abundantly, clearly impossible for you and me that it had to be by faith. And Abraham believed God was able to raise him from the dead. And in his heart, he slew that boy. That's faith. Every good work that's truly a good work is one that requires you to entirely, thoroughly, completely trust God. Trust God. And only God can work that. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And you know what the believer's cry is? This is our cry beginning and end right here. "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." I got to be saved from my unbelief. That's the sin. When you get to Hebrews 12, it's easier to see. Once you go through Hebrews 11, it's easy to see that unbelief really is the sin that besets us. There's a lot of weights and there's a lot of other things, but unbelief's the sin that besets us. Not believing God. But he points you back to Christ and says, "Consider him that endured all this contradiction of sinners against himself." And he sets you back in the past so that you're partakers of your holiness. No, you're partakers of his holiness. and you keep running the race looking to him. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And he will help it. You know how? He'll keep showing you that you can't do anything of yourself. He'll keep showing you you're a sinner. But he'll keep showing you he's saving you. And by that, he'll grow you to believe this thing's of him. It's of him. Amen. Father, we pray you would be pleased to bless this word. Pray that you'd bless it and cause one of your lost sheep to believe you today. Lord, we ask you, work it in the heart of one of your people. Work it in the heart of those that you've given faith to really believe you now, trust you, look not to none but you. Save us, Lord. Help us, save us from our unbelief. Keep us looking to Christ and believing him. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.